March 27, 2020, it's a Lot from Pedro show.
Thank you.
Show. Happy Friday. Happy. Ah, you hear my guest, people. I'm not man alone. Brother Matt, you know, we're sequestered here, quarantine. So I'm not man alone, though, because of the Skype software. Those Estonian software engineers have got me connected to Jimmy Horn in New Orleans. Welcome aboard, Jimmy.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. We started off with John Coltrane with Thelonious Monk, which is an important period in his life. It's when he kicks his shit, right? Between shifts with Miles Davis, Epistrophe, live at Carnegie Hall. Then the Special Man Brass Band with Eat That Chicken. Jimmy?
Yes, sir.
Can you tell me your earliest musical recollection?
Oh, no doubt. It was my father's hand-me-down 45s, jumping off the bed to Little Richard doing Tutti Frutti, Trogs doing Wild Thing. I think that was pretty much it. I mean, before that, maybe my grandpa yodeling with the sheep. Okay, but rock and roll, it was definitely Little Richard and the Trogs.
Yeah, Little Richard. Trogs. Have you ever heard that studio tape? They're trying to record and they're all Baracho and shit. And...
No, indeed. No, I have not.
You know, it's kind of on the level of the... Well, it's not up to the level of the Buddy Rich thing, but it's kind of that direction. Where they're
Gotcha. I've definitely heard the Buddy Rich.
Everybody who plays music has to
Yeah, indeed.
So where was this? New Orleans?
No, this was, let's see. This was in Utah. If not in Utah, it was in Illinois. A little town in Illinois, but it was probably Utah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Small town?
I mean, not even a town. Town was about 10 miles away. Yeah. So, pretty remote.
Okay. Now, he's got 45s and stuff. Does he have, anybody in the family got instruments? You heard yodeling, but you don't need an instrument.
Right. Well, apparently my grandpa, he could play the fiddle too, but I never heard him do it because he quit when he got married.
Okay.
Which tells me, I don't know, he's probably associating that with, you know, the mixers and the whiskey and the loose women and whatever. So he put that part behind him once he got married. He still played the harmonica a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. But other than him, nobody.
Do you remember the first record that you bought yourself?
It was a Kiss record. I don't remember which one.
Okay.
It was probably Rock and Roll All Over.
We saw them guys before they had a record out. They opened up for all kinds of people here in Long Beach next to Pedro. And I remember when the album came out, we heard it. It was so slow because they didn't play like that live. Okay, what about school? Let me ask you this first. In the house, was there instruments?
Say it again.
In your pad that you grew up, was there instruments?
Not in the house, no, but in the school, there was.
Okay, so in school, were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
They called it jazz band.
Ah, okay, yeah.
They called it jazz band. I did the and chorus. Or, no, what did they call it?
Choir?
Concert band, that's what it was.
Concert band. Okay.
Yeah, I did that for a little while.
What'd you do?
I didn't go all the way through school with that. I didn't finish high school, in fact, but... Yeah, I did that through like junior high, say about those years.
And what'd you work? What instrument?
A lot of them.
Okay.
At this time of my life, I was living in the Northwest, and I was living in I don't remember what the name of the school district was, but I guess they had money because the band department was just chock full of instruments.
Oh,
bitch! And straight up, like. For what it's worth, this is exactly where I did so much shedding and was so exposed to, this guy would get music, pieces of music that he didn't have instrumentation for, or you know, people playing the instruments. And he'd be like, all right, I want you to play trombone now on this. I mean, we went through sections, and I didn't get really proficient on anything, you know. But I got exposed to all kind of instruments.
So this was a good teacher.
Yeah, he really was. Yeah, and it's crazy, too, right? Because later in life, I was back in the area. Because I didn't live there very long. But I was back in the area for a minute. And I wanted to go tell this dude. I was like, his name was Holly Bertrand. And he played the clarinet. And he talked shit on New Orleans clarinetists for their vibrato. He said, you know, proper clarinetists don't use vibrato. And I'm like, okay. And he had he didn't have rose tinted glasses. They were like lilac blue kind of tinted.
Yeah.
And he dragged his leg when he walked. A crazy guy, Holly Bertrand. And but I went back to express to this dude, like, man, thank you so much. Like, if it weren't for you, I don't know, you know, I guess, yeah, music has been my life the whole time, you know, like. And so I was trying to express this to this man, and he came back. He thought I was like coming to mess with him or something. He was scared, and he asked me if I stole some shit. And I'm like, man, this is not what I expected, bro.
So he was better in the older days.
I gave this man some grief.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I was there right at that age, you know, like, he's trying to talk to the kids, and I'm, like, banging on a snare drum. just that type shit, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So, your opinion, is it important to have music in schools?
Well, I guess that's what I'm leading up to. Is like, I mean, for me, it was crucial, man.
Yeah,
it was crucial. And it, aside from, you know, the fact that, you know, I ended up being a musician for life or whatever, the socializing that takes place, the problem solving and the communication skills you develop, you know what I mean? Like,
sure.
And the teamwork and just being able to, like, conceive of being harmonious. I think people learn a lot quickly from music in that regard. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So yes, I think it's very important. I hear stories about how, you know, they've just slowly been taking it out and further out of the public school system, and that I think that's, you know, it's a,
it's hanging.
You know, I mean, on one hand, you could call it, you know, like a first world problem. On the other hand, it's like, look, everybody's fucking miserable. So.
Absolute. Well, what about outside of school, like the basement band, the bedroom band, garage band? Did you do that stuff?
No doubt. Punk rock years. We were in Pennsylvania by then, and okay. You know, skipping school. We were in Susquehanna Township, so we would skip. We'd go to whatever home period, and then go straight to Philly or to Pittsburgh or to D.C. or Hoboken first show. And yeah, you know, the VFWs, the Elks Lodge. You know the deal.
Sure.
The whole, like, back then it was everyone. It was very inclusive back then. You know what I mean? Those days, it wasn't. There weren't so many barriers. Like, you had the Krishnas and the hardcore kids and the drunks and the druggies and the only people that ever really fucked that shit up were the Nazis when they showed up. But that was the 80s, right?
They always do that.
So, you know. But yeah, punk rock, man. That was the shit.
Okay,
like, I'd be on in the symphony at school. You know, because once I moved to Pennsylvania, I was in the symphony instead of the jazz band. And then, you know, punk rock shit all night. So, going to practice at the trailer park. I was the new kid, I think ninth grade, I guess. And the punk rockers I met, they were all out of school already, but didn't have the music I had, kind of, I guess, was the deal. They were like, oh, this kid, he can play whatever. And so I got picked up by the older punk rockers, and that was also life-changing. You know, shout out to them people.
So you were like kind of a utility man for them. You weren't really starting your own band stuff.
Right. Yeah, I was the kid, man.
Right,
hey, oh, man, look, check out the kid, bro. He can do this, he can do that.
I can relate to that some because I grew up Navy housing, so there was always new cats.
Look, I mean, I'm talking to Mike Watt. You know exactly what it's like to, like, be in the punk scene and have a bunch of music under your belt. Like, what do I do with this crap? You know what I mean?
Right.
Let's make something cool with it.
I want to play Settle Down, Layla McCalla.
Yeah, man, Layla McCalla.
Here we go. We'll be right back.
We stay at home. We have no boss. We work alone. We work like drones, addicted to our phones. We're always home. At least the cat seems happier. We stay at home and slowly find out who we are. It's time to think and let desire guide you. It's time to dream, invent a better world. It's time to scheme, to write out what we're hoping for. It's time to make a plan to make a better world. Let's all stay home to make the world a safer place. Let's all stay home and search for lucky stars. Let's all stay home. There's so much new to learn about. Let's all stay home and slowly find out what we are. There's much to know and time to find out what it is. There's so much joy within we never knew. So many words to craft a million fantasies. We'll stay at home to find out what is true. Let's all stay home to make the world a better place. Let's all stay home to make a better world. Dream what we're all hoping for. Let's all stay home and make our dreams come.
that's what it's coming to. I want it, I want it, I want it. I want it, I want it, I want it. I want it, I want it, I want it. I want it, one thing to believe in. I want it, I want it, I want it. I want it, someone to bleed with. Baby, 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 I'ma bleed all over, yeah. Spike in my hand, baby, 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 don't you say it's over.
Trying to understand. put my life on the edge, put my legs on the shelf. I wanna love myself.
how rhyme I be. Up is my name, James, how rhyme I be. Little pain in my hole, life will kill me dead. Goody blue, go down heart disease. All blue, good old heart disease. That woman you love, so hard to please. Love my baby, baby, don't love me. Love my baby, baby, don't love me. I'm a fool about that woman, love. Just can't leave me. Blues and suffering. I'm my two best friends. Blues and suffering. I'm my two best friends. Can you put me out, baby? Trouble never. Didn't want me, baby. Why'd you call me man? Didn't want me, baby. Why'd you call
me? I'm all in, bro.
Okay, that was Layla McCollum with Settle Down. And listeners out there, Jimmy was hitting me with the facts. She's got kind of Jamaica punk rock trip.
Haitian,
I'm sorry. The French, not England, Jamaica.
Yeah.
Kind of near each other, but different worlds.
Sure. I mean, you know, transatlantic slave trade, the
right.
Caribbean islands. You
right.
Know,
so some stuff in common, but then some stuff very distinct. Yeah.
Yes,
but,
sir.
And, you want to say something about her?
Well, I mean, you know, Layla McCalla, she's a singular artist, and having an opportunity to produce her album gave me carte blanche to explore a lot of stuff that interests me personally, you know, being just me, but that doesn't really translate, in, you know, with my little outfit, you know, the special man or whatever.
Right.
And with her Haitian background and her you know, basically being an American musician born, you know, with Haitian roots, we were able to explore all kinds of, and you know, Settle Down. That's a rah-rah tune.
Yeah.
Rah-rah. We had members of Silibo Tetziel in town. They're also members of La Cool Musique, who were up here playing a festival at Sun. And so, excuse me, we were able to get a real Haitian rah-rah band on the record, you know. And as far as what we're talking on the break, you know, the power to the people, the speaking truth to power.
Right.
The, you know, very frenetic, you know, upbeat kind of energy. It's very punk rock in its way.
Yeah, I agree. We had Veil after that with Let's All Stay Home, Drunk and Pray with Crazy Alone. Lauren, brand new, Guardian One. Mark Lanigan, brand new stuff, Bleed All Over. Lucy Lee from Talking Heads, a song, not the band. Schizo Fuel out of Amarillo with Don't Remember Me. Bilge Pump out of Leeds with Timothy Moyler. And finally, King James with Jimmy's Blues. So what happens after high school?
Well, I tell you what, I got out of high school a little bit early. I checked myself out.
Yeah.
And from there, I just started running around, doing a lot of hitchhiking, kind of, you know, really just textbook, you know, like teenage angst, trying to find myself type shit.
Yep.
And running around, found myself back in like in the Seattle area, where started smoking a lot of grass, and it affected the music. Yeah, that's when I heard Sun Ra.
Oh man!
So it was, you know, I mean, that was one within 24 hours of hearing Sun Ra for the first time on the strength of an album cover. You know, because that's how we used to buy records. If you remember, you go flip through. Oh, this looks cool. You know, and
because a lot of the Square John writers wouldn't write about this stuff. So
That's right. So within 24 hours of hearing Sun Ra, I quit the band I was in. I switched instruments, moved, left the lady I was hanging out with at the time, and. And within, I don't know, a couple months, I was on my way to New Orleans.
Whoa.
Not moving to New Orleans, though, it was not really like a big, like, let's go to New Orleans. It was a total whim. I just wanted to get out of town.
Yeah, because I'm wondering how you picked that town.
Well, I was at a job at, like, one of those hippie co-ops where everybody gets paid really well to, like, stock, you know, soy milk and stuff. And that's what I was doing, stocking soy milk, cleaning up messes. Yeah. And, it wasn't very rewarding, man. And a friend of mine called me up and said, hey, I'll pick you up from work and we'll go somewhere and have fun, which usually meant go to the park with like a bum jug of wine or some grass or something.
Yeah.
And walk the dog type shit. And it was a car with a blown head gasket full of clothes, and we just headed for New Orleans.
Damn.
Just like, I mean, I didn't think about it, but for like maybe 2 seconds.
Because I'm thinking Sun Ra, you know, he starts in Birmingham and goes to Chicago, so...
That's right.
Okay. But, you know, there's New Orleans stuff in his music. I mean, he took from everything. It's great stuff.
Sure.
Sonny Blount.
That's right. Harmon Sonny Blount.
Yeah, incredible. Yeah. I think Poole, mm-hmm. too. There's he had several names in there.
Sure.
You know, people don't know he was like Willie Dixon, went to jail for being conscientious objector.
Makes sense.
I read the John's Ved book on him.
Right.
When you get to New Orleans, what do? Do you start playing music right when you find another co-op? Or?
Well, no, bro. I mean, I got here, and once I got the lay of the land, which took me a few days,
yeah.
I just started playing music in the street. I realized, oh, if I'm going to eat, like, because it was great. Like, I left Seattle, Washington with... well, with no money, but on the last day of the pay period. So I had a check coming. I woke up in Venice Beach that next day and called my boss in Seattle. I was like, oh, bro, I'm not coming in. In fact, I'm never coming back. But can you, Weston, you me that money right now? And they were so nice, you know, at the co-op that they did, bro. He like ran right to the place and Weston, you me my money.
You said Venice, California, so you went to New Orleans via Venice?
Yeah, we drove down the coast and then went over.
I-10.
And, yeah, it was crazy.
So you're playing in the streets?
I mean, immediately, because the money I had just got us across the country.
Sure.
And so, yeah, it was playing the street or go hungry, man. That's when I started singing, too. Actually, because I went out there and was like, oh, man, I'm slick, you know. Truth is, bro, I showed up with a fucking broken saxophone.
Whoa.
Like, I came barely 19 years old, hot out on the heels of, like, the Seattle scene. Like,
not a lot of sax happening up there.
bro, with a broken tenor saxophone, and I roll into town. Because, again, like I told you, I heard Sun Ra. I quit playing the guitar. I've been playing guitar since I was 4 years old, but I quit. And I was like, I'm a sax player now again. Because that was one of my favorite shits when they were doing the roulette with the instruments when I was a kid. So,
oh yeah,
I get down here, and it's like eight-year-olds, man. You know, like just smoking me, bro. Just smoking me.
Who am I thinking of? John Gilmore. And Marshall Allen is still touring. This guy's in his 80s.
Doing Vans tours. For sure.
Yeah, so saxes. And also, you know, at the gigs, they would move them around. There was a little showbiz.
No doubt.
Yeah.
But so I got here, man, and these little kids out the Sixth Ward were just playing so soulfully and so masterfully already that I never brought that horn out once, bro. Not even one time. I saw what was happening. I said, oh, bro, I'm going to die here. And ran into this cat, Dwayne, Nervous Dwayne. He goes by Nervous Dwayne.
Yeah.
He was playing saxophone up in the streets of Seattle one summer. He didn't live there, whatever. He was passing through. And I saw him here playing some goofy clarinet. And I'm like, I recognize that motherfucker. And turns out he didn't have a sax anymore. And I was like, but he had this raggedy guitar. I'm like, dude, give me your guitar.
Oh, trade.
And we traded. Here, take this tenor. Fix, you know, because he was fixing saxophones with Teflon tape and Band-Aids. Like, he was a master at that shit. And so I immediately went to work just, you know, playing guitar, but I wasn't making even half the money that the singers were. So that's when I started singing.
Okay. Okay. Trippy. So where were you living?
Oh, I was sleeping in that raggedy ass car.
Yeah.
That died like halfway here, man. I mean, it had a blown head gasket when we left. So it took like, a little over 2 weeks to get to New Orleans. I think we would stop more, you know, 3-4 days here and there and go out there and rub it a little bit and it would start up again and we'd ride it till it stopped, you know, gassing up with the motor running type shit.
We're talking like what, like the 90s, right?
93, I think it was.
So New Orleans was kind of a different town.
It was still new, old New Orleans, you know?
Okay.
I mean, as far as I could tell.
So in a way you could live kind of econo.
Oh, I mean, you know, the house that I bought, I moved to New Orleans, you know, a total bum.
Yeah.
And came and realized, oh, shoot, if you're a little bit industrious and stay focused and don't just drink all your money away, you can make some shit happen. Because like you said, it was very affordable, man. Yeah. I mean, I got into a two-story Greek revival, like from the late 1700s.
Whoa.
With like 12-foot ceilings and double veranda on the front, like balcony, you know, French doors in my bedroom off a balcony, and my mortgage, because I brought some of my homies to live in it with me, and it was like $80 a month, man. I mean, and I'm living in this, like I said, you know, over 200-year-old double veranda Greek revival mansion.
Yeah, big overhead. Look, Jimmy, we're at the end of the first hour. March 27, 2020, Dish of Wap Peterson. Special guest, Jimmy Horn. Hold tight for hour two. March 27, 2020. It's the second hour of the Wap for Pedro show.
You know I'm just a little poor boy. And I'm a long way from home. If you didn't want me, baby, why did you leave me out? Woman, tell me. Please tell me right now. What you want me to do? What you want me to do? You know I ain't been eating, can't even sleep at night. want you to throw your arms around me, baby. Instead, we'll fuss and fight. Now, woman, tell me. Please tell me right now. What you want me to do? What you want me to do? You know, woman is a woman. Man ain't nothing but a man. For the woman that I love, a man, do everything he can. Woman, tell me, please tell me right now, what you want me to do? What you want me to do? No, I've been down so long, baby. Seem like up to me. I was born to make you happy, child. Woman, can't you see? Woman, tell me. Right now, what you want me to do? What you want me to do, Lord? What you want me to do? Friend in your life. Woman, come around me, please. Woman, come around me, please. You're gonna find it right there till the end, baby. Till the end.
Fantasy spiders will help. Praise Allah. Praise Allah. Honors to the Holy Prophet Noble Drew Ali. Honors to the Moors. Honors to Moor Science. Honors to everyone within the sound of my voice. Give honors to all those who led in the name of love, truth, peace, freedom, and justice. Past, present, and those who come in the future. Islam. Praise Allah. Praise Allah.
I kill beats, the pen bleeds, with tendencies to assassinate MCs. Lyrically, articulate what's on my heart. The knowledge of self and the science of the spoken art. True indeed,
true indeed.
I proceed to smoke weed. It ain't a drug, it's a herb. It grows from a seed. It's revelations, much more than lyrics. The Most High is in the flesh of this ghetto mystic soul. Fellowship with the modern day Muhammad. Smoking holy Quranic from communion into economics, which means that I'm something like a prophet that really admits he's trying to make a profit. Mechanic with this broken knowledge, the almighty when I'm right here. I think I just might need some Nikes. Running this. Loose lips sink ships, but when I loosen my lips, I make hits. Islam.
Praise Allah.
Praise Allah.
Give honors to the turban, the fez, and the bow tie. Give honors to Islam. Give honors to Islamism. Like to give honors to hip-hop. Who has the biggest power of influence over the universe today? Give honors to the mothers, cause without you, there would be no us. I am the God MC.
They all amateurs, trying to rap with us. Throw a couple lines together, think fast enough. My deliveries, metaphors, and assimiles got a bigger sting than scorpions and killer bees.
Killer
bassline in the melody be telling me not to rap with niggas who mess up my records like felonies.
Felony.
The weather be below zero, about 3 degrees. Colder than weak MCs. Look, call it the minister flow. How the pen bleeds, I let the brim sit low. But I can still see. They ain't work. Don't let them in the game. Don't even give them a jersey. Now just because you ain't seen me on BET don't mean a thing. Cause these bars is tailor-made for the mainstream.
Mainstream.
Money ain't the main thing that won't debate the king. Is that I feel my brain is what the game really needs.
Praise Allah.
Praise Allah.
I returned at 4:30 a.m. for the Fajr prayer. It was Buddha-style meditation for my Salat. It was prophesied that the Messiah would come from the east. And what a coincidence, they told me to pray to the east. That's too controversial. It feels good in the darkness, but it's a beautiful day outside of myself. I couldn't reverse the Dracon spell with love, truth, peace, freedom, and justice. The sovereign king, the triple K's, can't arrest this. You see, my people want back what belongs to them. We had enough of driving your nice cars with big rims. You can have that back. Give me what's really mine. And all of it before I take it. I shouldn't have to stand in front of some fat ass judge and negotiate my freedom. Excuse my French, but just get the fuck out the way for my African. I mean, it just don't make no sense. It's 95% of us today, 5%. What if the police quit? What if the military quit? Cause you know they only soldiers to pay their rent or their mortgage. Because the only law is the law of God. And I don't need no law enforcement. It just need protection. And they say knowledge was a weapon. Let that marinate. Imagine us having our own Olympic team. That'd be us winning all them gold medals. But who was us? Who was I? Who was you? According to America, you're nobody. Because there's no such thing as Negro, black, or color. There's no such thing as African American. They say nationality is the order of the day. And my brother, my sister, it looks like you out of order. Oh, so you American, right? You see, they gave us freedom, but they weren't responsible for teaching us how to be free. It was our responsibility to teach ourselves, but we kept going to their schools and learn how to be better slaves. 13th Amendment. Islam. Praise Allah.
Praise Allah.
Watt from Pedro Show. We start the second hour with Tell Me What You Want Me to Do, King James and the Special Men.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and then MB Jones out of Pooh's Song with Plastic Kisses, Love During Coronavirus, Fantasy Spiders from Up in the City, Fantasy Spiders, I guess what do you call that, ubiquitous. Guided by Voices, Holy Rhythm, Bob Pollard with his 110th album. You know, he was here on New Year's Eve. He did a 100-song gig that was 5 hours.
Good gracious.
Something in the water in Dayton. Okay. Guy J writes with Morris Proverb. And finally, Kalunga.
Kalunga.
Kalunga. So tell me about this. Well, it seems like there's two kinds of things. There's King James and the Special Men. The Special Man Brass Band, and then King James. You know, sure. How does this all come about?
Well, you know, I think you could probably relate, but over the years coming up, like I said, I got my guitar when I was 4. And so the reasons I play music have changed throughout my lifetime many times. The instruments that I've focused on changed many times. The kind of music I was trying to make and why has changed so many times.
Sure.
And then, you know, I became like, I don't collect music. I like devour it. You know what I mean? Like, I fucking devour it. Like, yeah. I need more. I need a constant stream. And it, you know, it's like drugs, I guess. Like, at this point, I'm listening to music that makes normal people cringe. Like, you know, I'm like listening to Kurdish Sufi music. Like, these guys that, you know, they swear to never cut their mustaches and they play this really far out shit on a 2-stringed little instrument, and it's very foreign, you know, to our Western ears. And it's just a for instance, but the deal is that I just constantly need more and more stimulus. I don't listen to shit over and over and over for the most part. And then so I need, we're doing this punk rock thing, we're doing this like freaky dicky jazz thing, we're doing this like acid rock thing, we're doing this. Just too many different things, man.
Right.
And
so you like to give the projects different names, different entities.
Well, I slowly started to realize, like, okay, what ties this shit together at all? Like, how can I tie it together? Because I was starting to feel disjointed personally.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's when I realized, okay, produce, homie. Like, we're talking about production. Like the thing that the commonality is that you're very, very much a control freak and you like it this way. And you know, like you see what I'm saying? Like, so I was like, okay, it was just like when I made the Special Man. Okay. I was doing all these different things. I used to like here, we have these cats that, you know, with kind of tongue in cheek, we call them time travelers or Steamboat Willies. Right. Cause it's like, it's kind of like they wear a costume and like, ooh, it's old timey and,
oh, yeah.
You know,
right,
like,
right.
And it's this thing that they wear and then they take it off, right?
One time they put me in the jail in Disneyland for spitting on people from the people.
Right.
And you know, they brought me a part of Disneyland called New Orleans Square and there was a little jail. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretend
right.
Shit. Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, you gotta get your old timey photos and whatever. But I mean, you know, like I got colleagues that like got looked at funny for having a nice new suit to wear. Like when it was time to take photos, they were like, wear a suit. He shows up in his nicest, newest suit. And they're like, nah, bro. Like we're wearing these dusty ass old raggedy suits, you know, like he didn't get it. He's like, man, I don't understand these kids, bro. Like, but anyway, I'm getting off my point. Bottom line is, I was like, okay, you know, I'm not going to go out there and do Sun House. Like, I sat and I listened to those records, and I've had to learn how to play that shit.
Sure.
Fred McDowell, and, you know, I spent my time, like, you just played Jimmy's Blues, right? That's me at Jesse May Hemphill's porch. You know what I mean? Like, I sought them people out. Like, I just wanted to be around it. I didn't want there to be this, like, canyon between me and the people that I was
sure.
listening to.
Absolutely.
You know, they're human beings, right?
Absolutely.
And, so anyway, so like you, here we are talking. I grew up listening to all your records, man. All of them. You know what I mean? All of them. I'm thrilled to be talking to you. But the thing is, people are people, right? And so
absolutely.
So I'm doing all this shit, I kind of getting off my point, but I learned this, I learned that, I'm interested in this, I'm interested in that, but what is, like, really me, man? Like, and that's when I realized, bro, like, you were born listening to Little Richard. There's not a rock and roll tune that you can't relate to, like, personally. Like, when you bring it back to that, and then I start remembering, like, man, what was so great about this music to begin with, and the commonality of it, and the way it included everybody, and it went through all our just basic lives, and the shit that every fucking body feels.
Yeah.
It's not so niche.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, you know, like, you got folks that are really bent on definitions and genres.
Yeah,
and
fuck being, that.
But for me, like, I understand the ability, the wanting to say, I can tell you what we do. Like, if you can't explain, like, you don't want to be that cat, like, my music defies, you know, labels, man. It's too far out, man. You know, like, you don't want to be that. You want to be like, it's American fucking, we play rock and roll.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you think about it all, it's like, wait, it's all American music. Even all this, like, what is American music? It's like essentially mostly African.
Sure.
Most American music is essentially African with European forms, you know, the ballads and whatever, and the little repeating whatever verses and shit. And then, so then here we are. That's, you know, it just slowly all kind of culminated to, like, okay, so now you're a producer with your own label and you got a house band. You know, when it's time for me to front a band, I'm going to go out there and be a good time Charlie, sing about eating that chicken and shit. You know what I mean? But as a producer, that's what allows, okay, let's work with Layla McCall. Let's work with Alinda Cigar. Let's work with Louis Michaud. Let's work with all these different, Greg Dool.
Well, like, speaking of which, let's listen.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, let's listen to some Louis right now.
Thank you. can come right away. Need cut out time, fine folks don't play long. Just country boy down New Orleans. Got red bean cook, got green string long. Don't need no heat plate by my bed. Say what I got to carry. Don't lie right now, little bro. And I do this shit everywhere I go. Give me who you with me. Who you with me. Who you with me. Who you with me. Give me who you with me. Who you with me. Who you with me. Who you with me. The concrete did not keep real. I was born by my red by the sea. That shit you talk don't worry me. Live way down town by that river of mud. Like eating fire and drinking blood. That boy I'm calling ain't thinking tough. I'm drinking blood till get it up loud. Tell me who, baby. Who, baby. Who been fooling you? Give me who been, who been, who been fooling you? The cop keeps saying I get round, but I ain't hard to find. I've been out of town. New York's good town, but it ain't mine. And I'm not for so yeah, throw my dime. The way I'm married, man, in your squad. That red bean keep it daddy long. I got a mind full of evil, better full of hate. Won't test me, boy, don't hesitate. Tell me who, baby. Who, baby. Who, baby. Who, baby. Tell me who, baby. Who, baby. Who, baby. Like drink my gin, I like smoke my crack. He's dead before I'm bust your ass. Don't need no gun, won't need no knife. Like take a walk, I'll take your life. What do I do for go home pray? He won't live, see another day. Look out for me and got me low. The shit I see, man, never know. Tell me who, baby. Who, baby. Who, baby. Who, baby. Tell me who, baby. Who, baby. Who, baby. Who, baby. Thank you.
Watch for Pedro show. Teefee, Louis Michaud, and Special Man. That's something Jimmy produced. Actually wrote, right?
Mm-hmm.
Herman Gray. This is Tom Herman from Paralube, brand new album, Hurry Up Train.
Word.
Yeah, Tom Herman, bitchin' dude. Taught himself sax. He's into sax now. But he's a great guitar man. Megadeth from with Flaptop. That's out of Trieste, Italy. And then finally, great. King James and Special Man with Ninth Ward Blues. I mean, this was a blowout.
Yes, sir.
Where'd you do it? Something live. Where is it done?
Where did we record it? Like, how did we record it?
Yeah, where? Was it at that place? It used to be called Shimsham.
Nah.
What's it called now? One Eye Jacks?
The Shimsham Club?
It's called One Eye Jack now, right?
Right, One Eye Jacks, Rio's joint. Yeah.
But Louis was telling me about you guys recording some stuff there.
No, we didn't, actually. We didn't.
Well, maybe he did with another project. I'm mixing it up.
Yeah, could be.
But he was telling me about this big old jam, and I thought that this was part of it, because it's wild.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, what's special about the Ninth Ward?
You know, we're just, that's how we represent downtown. Like,
okay.
In New Orleans, you know, it's broken up into wards.
Yeah, neighborhoods.
And you know, everyone kind of identified with their neighborhood in that way.
But what's
I've been
the
ninth ward for
the last
almost
the
30
ward?
Years. It's the biggest ward. It's a very colorful ward. But it covers the most territory in the city as far as wards go.
Okay.
And it's like the soul of downtown.
So
you know,
like, yeah, like the big connect.
Yeah, and then there's Uptown, okay. You know, and that's something entirely different. Like, you know, in New Orleans, you got Uptown, you got Downtown. Like, those kind of shits, that old-fashioned kind of stuff is still really real here, you know, like the side of the tracks you're on.
Well, we got to hear,
like,
you know,
all that shit.
Pedro's by the water, and then we got the hill, right? Palos Verdes. Mm-hmm.
Right.
We just call it the hill, right?
Did you?
I don't even think they mention us. Human beings are strange, huh? Sometimes, Jimmy. So I was just curious. That is such a bitchin' blowout, though. I love it. The Ninth Ward Blues. We're at the end of the second hour. March 27, 2020. Special guest, Jimmy Horn. Hold tight for hour three. March 27, 2020. It's the third hour of the Watch Pedro Show.
Bombs are falling in the name of peace. People hide out from the city streets. We won't know their names.
nothing but a light in me, darkness and nothing else, on the edge of a forest, warm and secure with the light, or cool and different summer night, but little else be had. Enough room to sit and think, a decent place to write, having to stay within a circle, that light that defines my world, or the boundaries thereof. But I love this place in the big house, very quiet, dark night, so little sound and sight, perfect for a spotlight out of everything, me, and hence I write, surrounded by that yellow light.
Got me feeling.
A Walk for Pedro show. We start the third hour off with Layla McCullough again with a tune called Aleppo. And Jimmy says he got to get wild with the guitar. I guess when you're a producer, you can make – you're a shot caller, right?
That's the thing that I really like about – like, okay, Layla McCullough's record is the first record – or album, let's say, that I produced from front to back for another artist. Okay. I had done singles – excuse me, you know, work with people in different capacities, but this was official first full-on producer job. And I just did it the way I figured I should, which was total control, like, you know, always with she's got the veto, and I'm you know, throwing ideas out constantly.
Yeah.
And so yeah, it's like, you know, my pool of musicians, my arrangements, I got to, you know, if I could play it myself, I just saved the time, and I played a lot of the guitar and the bass and the percussion, and would just implement, you know, bring in people for each tune. Like, I didn't build a band for the album. Each tune was its own band, right? Okay. And immediately I was like, oh my God, dude, this is exactly what I want to do for the rest of my life. Every day. You know, more for me, like, being a front man is kind of like an arranged marriage. Do you know what I mean? Like, I didn't even fall in love with that shit. I've learned to love it, you know, with patience and effort and stuff. But it wasn't a choice. Like, oh my God, we're so in love. I'm going to be a front man. Like, it was a necessity. Like I said, people that were singing were making more money than me. And, but producing and being behind the scenes and, you know, it's not about my image or, you know, any of that shit. It's just the music. Like, that for me was immediately addictive.
It was a focus issue.
Sure.
Focus, yeah. Then we had Craig Bell, brand new album. He's got Move Along. Great bass band out of Cleveland. I think he's in Indiana now. Euphoria's Destination, speaking of the hill, this is from Crane. He's in Idaho now, but Lights, Action, Camera. Joe Brewer out of Madison, Pool of Light. Lewis Cole with Leaving the Planet. And finally, Layla McCullough, Heavy as Lead. Great tune.
The jam.
Yeah, Jesus. I want to play The End Is Near.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, what about this tune?
Man, I don't know, man. It was, it's just one of the things, like, I was thinking, I'll be honest, I'm going to be probably too honest, all right? But I'm compelled to do so. Like, I was, what's that? All across, you know, Dancing in the Streets. That's what it is, Dancing in the Streets. I had Dancing in the Streets in my mind.
Yeah.
God. I don't know, man. Like, I just wanted to have one of them jams where I talked to all the people across the world, you know, and like, oh, and Prince, man, you know, 1999. I was like, bro, we're all going to die, but let's not die tonight. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And then it just fell out. After that, it just fell out.
Let's do it.
And it's near, soon be on our way. And it's near, child, soon be on our way. You know we going downtown where all our friends be hanging around, raising hell and bawling to that rock and roll sound. Everybody having fun, and the moon is shining bright. We all gotta die, but baby, woo, not tonight. And it's near, soon be on our way. And it's near, soon be on way. Know this big old world is in a hell of a fit. Or maybe it's meant to be, you know, I can't time I think I'm wrong, every time I know I'm right. I know I came to party, even if it takes all night. And it will soon be on our way. And it's next time soon be on our way. Said his final curtain and his black towel at the bar. Our precious little lives like a shooting star. Nobody can live forever, but our spirit carry on. Just like the message of love in this here little song. All right. Can you hear me over there in London town? The people in Kathmandu, you know what they do. Hey, what? This is my people, baby. Over how? It's a gateway to the west. Everybody knows the west is the best. Oh, but let him talk to you. Walsall, Arkansas, Niagara Falls, Tookie, hot potatoes too. In fact, how about a chicken dinner and a couple beers? Have mercy. Have mercy. New Orleans, baby. St. Louis. Oh, my friend. Shanghai. Singapore. What's happening, baby? Oaxaca. Osaka. That's right. Yeah. Oh, there's crazy look. Never gotta live while you live. Can't wait for no Thanksgiving. Just reach out and touch somebody right now.
You alone, baby. Just put your hands on the speakers.
Sharing our future.
Just for the children.
hard. If I could just get my little shit together, make a brand new start. Name all of my mistakes, baby. Just please try to understand. I just wanna be a loving woman. You could be my ever loving man. We both know that talk is cheap. Life ain't always what it seems, but my love for you, it's just going stronger. It leaves me weak in the knees. When you say that you love me, what you tell me?
Peter Show, the final music for this edition, The End Is Near, King James Special Man. Then Andre Vita out of Berlin with Red Lines 9, Svelki 13. That's a title. Mold Open out of Baltimore, Live at Ripper's Club. That's a jam. And then finally, Alinda Segarra in the Special.
That's right.
Don't Tell Me It's Over. What's that about? That's where you put a band around a singer?
Well, that right there, that's the first one I did. That, you know, it was an experiment for me that led to realization that I want to produce, right?
Okay.
It was a songwriting experiment though, because I mean, if you listen to these songs that I'm singing, like I'm no Johnny Adams, you know what I mean? Like I'm no Ernie Cato. Like I don't have like a pretty voice. I'm good for the party. And, I try to stay in my lane that way because, you know, you don't want to be out there like a stray cat in a fence, like, singing like all shitty. So I just try to write. I was very careful about writing for myself.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But I had all these songs that were just basically, spiritually speaking, they were just kind of all in the same vein, like, sooky dooky, boogie woogie, you know, like, I kind of was feeling a little wore out with the Good Time Charlie act.
Yeah.
I said, man, I got so much fucking music. Like, because I don't really write. I listen and listen and listen, and then shit won't leave me alone, and then I make it permanent. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't force that shit. So, and I had all this music, and I'm like, but it's not for the special man. It's not for the special. Oh, that's awesome, but that's not for the special man. I said, man, why don't I just go ahead and try and, like, for instance, like, let a lady sing one of these or something. And then, boom. You know, it was one of those aha things where I just called a friend. You know, she's got Hooray for the Riff Raff. She was doing well. She's got a great voice. You know, it was just good timing. And I had this song that I felt like I just wasn't quite, you know, I wasn't good enough of a singer to do the song justice. I needed somebody with a little more ability than me. And I thought I wanted a woman. And so, you know, that's what we did. I called Alinda and she came in and she's like, oh man, this is totally out of my wheelhouse. I said, great. Don't worry about it. And, you know, I coached her through it and it happened really quick. She's like, damn, like that was so much easier than I thought it was going to be. And, you know, lights were going off like, wow. Okay. Kind of like, I like this. So,
okay,
I mean,
so it was good for
production, I learned that I like it really hands on. Like, you know, I don't need to dance in your video or whatever, but I'm going to be playing bass and guitar and percussion and, you know, whatever else is needed. You know, I'm going to, I want to be a part of the shit. You know what I mean?
Right.
And getting the performance out of the artist, like that's something else that I really enjoy. Like making sure that the vibe is right in the room, you know, and that the artist feels the way they need to feel. You know what I mean? Like the directing that shit, like all of that stuff interests me.
Well, yeah, because you know the cliche story is it's the artist fighting the producer.
Oh, bro, no, I can't even conceive of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. I
can't
even conceive. Stupid. I think that's an old cliche. That's stupid.
Well,
power trip.
You know, the truth is, I do believe it, Mike. But I just can't conceive of it for myself. Like, I can't imagine being in that kind of position. If somebody's gonna fight me, I'm gonna. I mean, it's their record, first of all. You know what I mean?
Right.
As long as I'm paid, like I'm straight.
Well, this is more. I'm thinking more of the old days with big labels.
Right.
You know, I have friends. They spent $250,000 and the label says, record it again.
Yeah, no, I can't even understand
you know,
that. I mean,
shit. I saw so much fucking. Oh, man. Louis, Jimmy, where can people find you on the internet?
Oh, I'm on specialmanindustries.com. And I'm also on Instagram at no credit, no problem.
But you got your own website, right?
Yes, specialmanindustries.com.
Specialman, so people, that's a big URL, but go there, man. From there, you can find out about all the other places that Jimmy puts his stuff and what he's doing. And by the way, what do you got coming up next?
What do we have coming up next, man, is that we can get out under this quarantine. We're going to try and hit the road. We're going to try and find ourselves a proper agent again and just hit the streets running, man.
But Jimmy,
as far as the label, though, we got all kind of stuff coming.
No, but Jimmy, that's a good point. What are you going to do in the meantime? I should have asked you that.
Right now, I'm polishing things, man. Straight up.
Okay.
I'm polishing things. Like, that's all I can do.
Well, what about compose? What about record?
Well, that's kind of what I mean by polishing things.
Oh, okay.
I'm just, you know, because that's kind of, I've got albums and albums and albums of stuff recorded already.
Okay.
That, you know, for me, it's like, oh, now that it's this thing's time. You know what I mean? And then I'll go and finish it. I'll go and mix it. And so that's what I mean. I've got lots of stuff recorded already in the queue. And then, you know, then there's other artists.
I can relate, you know, because people, they kind of call me or write me emails all worried. What would you do without gigs? But, man, we could do a lot of stuff in the meantime.
Look, I mean, there's a lot of people out there suffering, bro.
Absolutely,
like,
absolutely.
They're living hand to mouth, and now they're just not, you know what I mean? Like, and so, you know, but I just feel, you know, very fortunate in that I'm not in that kind of situation. I wasn't playing Bourbon Street six nights a week to feed everybody.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm sitting here living on the kitty a little bit and polishing them new records. So that's what I'm doing.
Jimmy, it's been a big, big honor to have you on the show.
It's been an honor to be on the show, Mike. It's a pleasure to meet you, man.
Oh,
I've been a fan since I was a kid.
Oh, you're so kind.
And you were a kid, too. Let's be real. Like, you know.
Well, I still am. I'm just a less younger one.
Yeah, you're just less young, bro.
Look, when you get some done polishing some stuff, come back on the show and we'll talk about it.
That would be a great, that's great. Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Okay, beautiful. People, it's been March 27, 2020 edition. WAP Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.